All right, Setup Nation and real Cubs fans out there, this is your chance to share your story. So get ready to comment down below. Cubs blow an 8-run lead, first time since 2002. One of the five biggest losses is what I saw last night on the marquee broadcasts in Cubs history. I just hate loving the Cubs. I've been saying that since I was 14 years old, but I hate loving the Cubs. Like, after doing this, after watching the game, after going through the highs and lows of yesterday and just being baffled, looking on Twitter and seeing all of the comments, I just want to ask everyone, why do we do this to ourselves? Like, are we addicts? Is this like what an addict looks like? I've never had an addiction, but maybe this is my addiction. You know, addicts, right? They go through highs, they go through lows. They're extremely moody based on things that are both inside their control, but especially outside of their control. They use this addiction to escape from the everyday, and it truly, right, it impacts the people around them. And I'm like, yeah, a lot of those things check the boxes of being a Cubs fan, being a sports fan in general, but especially being a Cubs fan. And like, I'm a business person, and this is the only part of my life that I don't think rationally about. I can get a problem brought to me by an employee, and they can tell me, here's what the problem is, and then we can sit down and we can remove emotion from it and think rationally about what will this do. I buy properties, I buy Airbnbs, I buy real estate, and we don't look at, oh, what does the house look like, and what can we do with the kitchen, right? We just say, what are the numbers? We look at this and we say, does it make sense from a return on investment standpoint? We don't get emotionally attached to any of these properties, but suddenly, and honestly, like that also has transitioned into even relationships that I've had where I'm just like, you know, I think my wife would tell you and some other people would tell you that I probably lack in the emotional department there. But man, when it comes to the Cubs, it's just like, I am out of control. And I remember hearing a interview from Gary Vaynerchuk. If you don't know who that is, Gary V, look him up. He's awesome. Extremely intelligent and outspoken entrepreneur who wants to buy the Jets and is a huge Jets fan. Sorry, that would suck. But my point here is that he wants to do this, and he also, like me, has a rational side of his brain and then just this deep emotion with the Jets. And he talked about it on a Larry King interview a few years ago. I want you to listen to this really quick.
You're so level-headed and
yes.
On top of things.
Yes.
But sports things are a fan thing.
Yes, they are.
That's short for fanatic.
Yes, it is.
And that's emotional.
Yeah, listen, I'm a flawed human. I mean, we all have our shortcomings. When I came to America, I couldn't speak English. There was something when I moved to Edison, New Jersey, the kid, Eric Godfrey, Robbie Turnick, they were playing football. And they made me a Jets fan, and it was my first American thing. Everybody had a Jets jersey, and I wanted one. And my mom, we couldn't afford stuff like that. So my mom knitted me one. And so I have it. It's my prized possession. And I've created a fairy tale in my mind somewhere around second or third grade that I was gonna go from not being able to afford a jersey to owning the whole damn thing.
So there it is. This is what I wanna point out and what I wanna talk about. The difference between a sports fan and an addict is that the addict uses their vice to escape. There's some negativity associated with that addiction, right? Whether it's a job that they hate, it's an abusive relationship or being abused by someone that they love, being let down by their parents, right? Having a tough time forgiving someone. They have a negative connotation in their mind, and so for that reason they have to escape. Sports fans though, like us, Cubs fans like us, Setup Nation talking to you right now, we do this because of positive emotions. Gary V, his mom knitted him a Jets jersey. That's one of his prized possessions, right? That's what he carries with him when he watches a Jets game. Emotionally and maybe even physically, maybe he brings them, maybe he still wears the jersey, I don't know, but emotionally he carries that with him, and that's the feeling that he gets when he watches a Jets game. Me personally, and this is where I want you guys out there listening to comment, what's your story? What's that feeling that you get when you think about the origin of your Cubs fandom. Me, I was a collector. When I was a kid, I would collect Power Rangers, I would collect Ninja Turtles, that eventually turned into cards where I was doing Magic cards. Yeah, I was that dork for a little bit. And then Pokemon. But then right around that time, my buddy said, screw Pokemon cards, like try baseball cards. And I was like, why would I want to try baseball cards? And I remember going to the card shop with him, and one of my first cards, I've got it right here, Sammy Sosa. It was a Sammy Sosa 1990 Leaf series. And I remember this so vividly because I ended up getting the whole set shortly after that. And there was just something about Sosa's card. And maybe, you know, I have a really tough time really remembering this vividly, but I do remember it was the year after the Maguire and Sosa chase. And I remember my dad one day, he had opened up the newspaper and he said, look at this, Maguire broke the home run chase or the home run record from Maris. And I was like, what does all that mean? And I remember him explaining it to me and me just being like, okay, whatever, sports thing. Like I was playing sports, but I wasn't really a fan of watching sports. But when I got this card, I was like, okay, I can collect something that's real. Pokemon and Power Rangers and Ninja Turtles and Magic cards, none of that was real. But this was something I could collect and then watch on TV and see real people. I found out that I could watch Sammy Sosa on WGN every single Sunday after cartoons or SpongeBob or whatever it was. And this was the first time I was able to take my collector obsession and convert it to the real world. And then you add in the hop after a home run and Chip Carey's excitement. And I mean, there was no going back. Like, I know a lot of you have, you know, your opinions of Sammy Sosa today. I have my opinions of Sammy Sosa today, but you cannot ignore that feeling that you got. If you relate to that story, you cannot ignore that feeling you got when you were a kid watching Sammy Sosa hop after he hit a deep fly ball and that thing going out and Chip Carey with that excitement in his voice. I mean, you talk about a home play-by-play guy. That guy was the biggest homer of all of them. And so if you like the Cubs after watching Sosa and listening to Chip Carey, you then loved the Cubs. Some of you before are like, you know, hey, no, it's Harry Carey for me. It's Ryan Sandberg. It's Ron Santo. That's fine. This is my story, right? I want to hear your story, though, of what brought you to this. So this feeling that brought me to the Cubs, it was not an abusive relationship. It wasn't an escape from a job that I hated. It was not a void I was trying to fill in my life. It was a childlike joy that I had never been able to experience in that way. To feel, see, touch. And then I went to my first baseball game shortly after that. Saw Barry Bonds get his 2000th hit. Shortly after that, went to a Cubs game where Sammy Sosa hit 2 home runs. I mean, this was, as I just think through this, this was all of the things that you want as a kid to be able to experience from a fantasy perspective now put into the real world, right? The fantasy of, oh my gosh, I remember like going through, I remember literally walking through school and being like, okay, Sammy Sosa has 35 home runs. We're in July. If he hits another 12, like I was doing the math to see where Sammy could get to 60 home runs. That's how obsessed I was with Sammy Sosa and the Cubs. I was able to take all of this that was fantasy and put it into the real world. And now, has it always been a joy? Of course not. That's evidence of the game on April 8th where the Cubs lost an 8-0 lead. Still thinking through that one. have I thrown things at the TV? Yeah, of course. Albeit, you know, I was like 13 years old, so I haven't done that recently. Did I punch my pillows after Game 6 and Game 7 of the 2003 NLCS? Yeah, relentlessly. Like, I don't think anyone has ever broke their hand from punching a pillow, but I might have been close. Have I given loved ones the silent treatment after losses? I'll let you ask my wife about that last night. Hell, we're trying to have another kid right now. There's that information. Do you think I was in the mood last night to do that? No judgment. There's this other side though, right? Because the question still begs, like, why do we do this to ourselves? Why do we suffer and go through all this pain? And yeah, we have this childlike experience, but we're adults now, right? It's time to grow up. I remember going through a period right after the World Series where it was like, okay, cool, we did it. 2017 was a little bit lackluster. They still made it to the NLCS, but it was like, yeah, they weren't as good. And I remember, like, you know, the strikeout of Bryce Harper to go to the NLCS. There just wasn't, like, I was like, okay, cool, that was cool, but, like, you know, we won the World Series the year before. And then a couple years later, I find myself, like, not even watching games. And sure, there was, like, that relief, right, of, hey, I'm not having to attach all of this excitement, all of this emotion, my mood to the games. But then in 2020, right, COVID happens. You can do nothing but sit down and watch TV. I started to gain that back. I started to watch more again. I started to get more of that from when I was a kid feeling again of like watching and being attached to it. And I thought I had outgrown that. But when I think about it, the childhood memories, you never disengage from those things. And so there's this other side of not just pain, but for example, last year, did I lose my mind when Mike Tauchman robbed a home run to end the game to put the Cardinals into the L column? For sure. I remember sitting on the couch with my wife and she couldn't believe it. Her jaws dropped. I'm jumping up and down. Did I sneak away from class in 2003 when the Cubs were going for the NL Central title and go on MLB.com, go on the game day updates and just keep on pressing refresh until I saw that they swept the doubleheader from the Pirates? Yeah, and then I went home and I watched the replays and I remember Matt Clement giving high fives to all of the fans. You know, those moments, did I find absolute pure bliss from the World Series last out KB makes? I sat at the same seat at the same bar in Scottsdale, Arizona. It was a Cubs bar. Went there recently, saw it was closed down. That was kind of sad, but sat in the same seat, the same bar as many games as I could that year. And like I say all of this, by the way, aside from the day that I got married, aside from my child being born, you know, the 2016 World Series, one of the best days of my life. And you think about that and you're just like, but you didn't do that, Kyle, right? You didn't create that. You didn't, sure. But it's the good that comes with the bad, and it's just this childhood joy of, again, this fantasy into reality. And every single game, no matter if it's the playoffs or if it's a regular season, if it's April 8th, in the beginning of the season, it feels like Christmas Day. We mark our calendars. We watch the pregame shows. We check out the matchups. And we get ready for this Christmas Day that happens 162 days out of the year and maybe another 15 to 20 times if you go to the playoffs. And you rip open the gift and sometimes you love it and sometimes you're just like, ew, I hate it. But the excitement of what could be, it just keeps you coming back again and again and again. And honestly, this is the realization that I have when I think about, is this a rational thing that I do in my life? Absolutely not. But is it exciting? And can I keep it in enough control to not hurt the people around me and not, you know, impact the way that I do my job on a daily basis? As long as I do that, I can use this passion to connect with you guys, right? Like that's part of the reason why I started this show, started this YouTube channel, started this podcast. It wasn't just to talk to Cubs players and chat about what my thoughts were about the Cubs and share my takes. It was a place that I could also vent because I need to be able to get some things off my chest when I'm just like in a mode last night of not being able to go to sleep after a miserable loss and be able to just post a real quick 30-second reel. That's like my therapy. But also, I want this to be a place that Setup Nation, you guys also come to for your own therapy. That's part of why we want to do this. That's part of the community here, is the ability to be able to talk it out. I live in California. For most of my life, I have had zero people around me that are Cubs fans, and the couple that I have had, you better believe every time something is happening, I'm texting them. But now taking this onto the platform of YouTube and a podcast and on social media, now I get to connect with all of you and I get to hear your story. And I shared my story. I would love to hear your story. And I'd love to hear why you keep on coming back again and again and again, despite the pain and the suffering. And just remember, this is one game of 162, which means A, we are going to get hurt a lot more times here in 2024, but we're going to have even more moments here in 2024 of excitement, of hope, of optimism. And I truly believe this is a playoff-bound team here in 2024. So go Cubs, go. Let's do this thing, baby.